Life is a highway. I want you to know something. I've been trying to get, we've had 3 worship leaders in 6 years, and I've asked everyone to do Life is a Highway, and they've all refused. So when you're the one making the videos, you can do what you want. Amen. I love that song. If you're in Kidmo, we're going to release you to go back to your group. And if you are a guest here today and you have a 2nd through 5th grader, they are invited to join them. If you want to walk back there and kind of see what it's about, you're more than welcome to do that and follow them. They do their own time of teaching and small group and do some fun stuff back there. So you're more than welcome to participate and be a part of that. And we are very glad to have them here with us. And, of course, we love having them in worship with us as well. I'm excited about some of the things Don's talking about. One of the areas that we've always wanted to make an impact in the world is not just what we do here within these walls. But we have an opportunity to go out into the world and make a difference there. And while we may be a small church, we have the opportunity to make a large impact, especially if we're strategic about it. So I'm really excited about what's going on in Haiti. I'm excited about the other partners that we have that are around the world taking the gospel and changing lives. Just to give you a recap of what you've done in the last few weeks, Haiti is certainly the biggest one that we've done. But we started back in November, if you'll remember, and you gave about 65 shoeboxes for Operation Christmas Child with Samaritan's Purse. So we gave those away, and that was fantastic. You'll remember I also shared that we had the opportunity to provide some furniture for a family that did not have a place to live. It didn't have any furniture at all, a single mom with 3 kids. And so we had the opportunity to help provide that. And it was just, if you were here a few weeks ago, I shared a note we got from them, and it was just very touching, the impact that it made. Something that may seem so simple to us had a huge impact on them. And so we're excited about that. And we also had some opportunities to help some families for Christmas. And so we helped some families that were unable to provide a Christmas locally. And so all of these are just great opportunities to get involved. Now, here's the thing. The challenge as the body of Christ is to wait for the church, like Journey, to come up with these opportunities. But I will tell you that if you will look around, you will see opportunities like that all around you all the time. And the real rub is, well, we can't afford, if I see a need, I really can't afford to do that. And the problem is with that mindset is you can actually afford to do more than you think. And if you're strategic about how you help, you can make an impact with those people around you, even if none of us are leading the charge in that particular area. Because what we hope will happen is that you will be able to go out of here and you will be able to take the gospel with you in the way that you live your life around other people. And at times that looks like I see a need and I just meet the need. And so we have always encouraged people to not just wait for us to come up with something, but I'm looking forward to the opportunities for us to not only continue making these steps, but also to take some additional steps. One of the ones that we have been participating in for quite some time is Room in the Inn. And if you would like to help provide a meal again, we are going to be doing that this month. If there is a sign-up sheet on the back table, and you can go back and sign up for a portion of the meal. And if you're new to Journey or you're new to the Room in the Inn ministry, Room in the Inn is a local shelter primarily for women and mothers with children. If you're not familiar with the homeless situation in our community, then there are very few places that will actually accept children, which seems so backwards that you would think that would be the first group of people we would want to take care of. But there are so few, there's so many issues involved with this, but there are so few places that a parent can take a child, and that's one of them. But not only do they provide shelter, but they take it a step further. They actually train the adults to get a job, to have a sustainable income, to manage money, because the goal is to provide shelter only until they're able to provide it for themselves. And that's really the goal of dealing with homelessness. And so it's a great opportunity, and we, from time to time, about every other month, we provide a meal that is taken to them, and then they prepare it for the residents. And if you'd like to participate in that, then there are some sign-up sheets in the back, and we would love for you to do that. If you do, then we need you to bring your prepared but uncooked dish on January 19th, I think. That's a Sunday, right? The 19th. Everybody's looking at their calendar. Yes, okay, thank you. Isn't that funny? Yeah, you know, 10 years ago, we could have said, yeah, the 19th is a Sunday, but now it's, we can't figure it out anymore. I'm the same way. What's your, you know, their phone number? I don't know, but I'll call them for you because I have them on speed dial, you know. But those are some great opportunities to be involved, and we hope that you'll take part. And we also just thank everybody that came yesterday and just really invested a lot of time in cleaning, organizing, and making some changes here at Journey. If you've been here for any length of time, you'll notice a distinct lack of a few things. Every year, we take off one Sunday. And there's not a lot of people that do that, but we do it because we want to have an opportunity to start fresh for the new year. And every year before this year, we have always started with something new and something big just to kick off the new year. But this year, we decided to do something different. Let's start with less this year. Let's start with less stuff, and then let's build over time stuff that helps us share the gospel with people. So over the next few weeks, and I'll share a little bit about this later, but over the next few weeks, you're going to see some changes happening here. But the changes are not just going to be something that's on the wall or on the stage or something like that. You're going to begin seeing some changes to the way we operate, to some of the leaders that you see talking. You're going to hear from several leaders from the stage over the next few weeks because we believe that it is important as a community that this is a community effort. And it's not just the effort of a few people. So you're going to see a few different things and a few different faces, and you're probably going to have some people that are going to be up here sharing that you're not used to sharing. And I'm very excited about where we're headed with all of this. If you've, how many of you were with us the very first service we had in the theater? There's a sprinkling of hands. Today marks our 6th year anniversary of our very first service, which I'm really excited about. And I'm really excited not just for where we've been. I'm more excited about where we're headed. Because this life really is a journey. And so we're kicking off this new year with a new series called The Journey. Now, when we started the church, we knew that one of the challenges people have in faith is that they tend to look at their life, their spiritual life, as a list of things you're supposed to do, or some kind of destination that you're supposed to reach. You're supposed to all of a sudden, you know, talk different. All of a sudden, you're supposed to value different things. All of a sudden, your priorities are just supposed to automatically change to whatever Scripture says, and there's really no time to adjust. You just, like that, everything changes. Now, we recognize in some people, they have such a radical experience with Christ that they do have many things in their life that just like that, they change. God just so completely intercepts their life, and they are so ready for a change that it is not a hard transition. But for many, that transition to following Christ is not one that starts immediately, or it starts immediately, but it's not one that ends, but it is an ongoing journey along the way. Everybody is somewhere on a journey, somewhere, somehow, going to do something. And what we want to talk about over these next few weeks is what does it look like to really have a journey with Jesus? And how do you grow from where you are to where he wants to take you? But one of the mindsets we want to erase is this idea that you're going to reach a level of attainment and you can say, I've arrived. I'm here. I've done it. It's all downhill from here. Because I really don't know anything except for fitting in tight clothes that works for. That's the only thing that you can say now it's downhill, right? Amen to that. If you are working, when I was a student, I always wanted to get to a point where I didn't need to learn anything anymore. Anybody else? I daydreamed. I was going to get out of high school, and I was going to get out of college, and then I didn't have to learn anything anymore. But if you hold down a job, you recognize that there's learning to do every single day. And in fact, the people that are the happiest and most fulfilled in life are those that have chosen to take on a lifestyle of learning. It's a journey. It's a process. We're here, but we're moving somewhere. And so one of my questions for you, excuse me, you're going to hear me cough some today, I'm not contagious, but I do have a nagging cough. But what we're going to talk about today is what does it look like to be on this journey together. So let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, God, I'm so thankful for so many different things. But today I'm thankful for your patience as we are all growing at some rate. I'm thankful that you have not dangled in front of us a destination that we have to reach, but you have invited us on a journey. And Father, I pray that as we search your word and as we spend time together as a community, we would be a people that encourage each other on their journey. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace, because this is only possible through the gift of Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. All right. As I look back over these last 6 years, I'm amazed at the number of changes that have happened at Journey. It shouldn't surprise me, but it does. Throughout my life, I have learned one unshakable concept. It happens for everybody. It's a universal truth, and it doesn't matter how much you try to avoid it, it's going to happen for you. And that universal truth is this, that you are on a journey. There is a process in place. Whatever is happening now in your life may continue, and it may not. Wherever you're doing right now, you may be doing tomorrow, or you may never do it again. Everything in life is about movement, change, growth. And Jesus has constantly called us to this life of constantly moving with him. In my own life, I truly started with an idea that I could reach some destination that would make me happy. Have you ever done that? What are some of the things we do? When I was in school, it was about the job, right? I was going to have a good job. I was going to have a job that I loved, because I didn't want a job that I hated. I was going to have a job that I loved, and my paycheck was obviously going to be more than, 95% of the rest of the country, right? Much less the world, but just the rest of the country, because that is the destination I was looking for. And I assumed that if I could reach this destination, not only would I enjoy my time at work, I would go home and I could enjoy my time at home as well. I just wanted to enjoy life and I could reach it. But I had to pick the right college and I had to pick the right career and I had to do all that. And ministry was obviously a bad choice for this. But I thought there was a destination. And quite honestly, as you grow and as you mature, you begin to change that line of thinking. As you begin to understand how the world works, how God works, and how people work, you recognize there are a lot of people out there that are truly trying to reach something, and they are miserable because it is just out of reach. If I can just get there, but they never get there. If I can just have this, but they never have that. And whenever they do reach some goal, there's always another goal. We've been talking about our kids, and they're kind of exploring social media, and it's really fun. And the only thing that frustrates me is that they won't take a picture with me and put it online. But other than that, selfies, which I'm available, or any selfies after the service, by the way. If you would like one with me, post it all over the net, we'll do it. I'm in. Aaron is in. Come on, Aaron. We'll do it right now. Yeah. One of the things that they're learning, and we actually been having conversations about this currently, is this concept of followers. You know what a follower is, right? It's someone that reads your texts or your posts on Facebook or Twitter. It's someone who watches your videos or looks at your pictures. And if they're really good followers and they like it or they comment or they pass it on to their followers, so you get more followers. And one of the things that we've noticed in ministry, Scott and I have talked about this a lot, is a lot of people in ministry, they are so focused on the number of followers they have. Everything is about the number of followers they have. And so there's this goal. It's that, if I can just get so many followers, then it will be cool. And Emma said it best. Emma is so intuitive about this stuff. She said, if you have a lot of followers, then you have a good account. And the truth is that the purpose of social media is what? To be social, right? We even put the purpose in the name of it, to be social. But it's so easy to take away from the goal of, there are friends I can communicate with in ways that people just a few years ago could not communicate with each other. And instead, it sometimes falls into this, how many followers do I have? There's a destination. And if I get there, then it's a good account. But along the way, what you miss by trying to get as many followers as you want, this is what we're trying to teach them. And Jake, are you listening? All right. What we're trying to teach them, Jake, is that along the way, enjoy the process of living life with people. Enjoy the relationships. Enjoy the people that you do know. And don't set these goals that are just always you're never going to reach. I remember when I started Twitter, my first 20,000 followers. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have 20,000 followers. But I would reach a level. I'd be like, man, I made it. And then a pastor buddy, he would have like 100 more than me. I'm like, what? How's this possible? Everybody like me. Send out some stuff so I can get more followers. And you're just never happy. Whether it's social media, or whether it's your job, or whether it's having the perfect family, or whether it's your faith and the way that you walk with Christ. When we set these arbitrary destinations that we have arrived, what we are actually doing is circumventing what God has created us to be within the world. Because it was never about where we ended up. Well, partially is. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it was more how we live life on the way. So let me ask you this. How are you living life? What are your goals? I've got goals for 2014. I've got goals for Journey. I've got goals for my own life. I've got goals for our family. There's nothing wrong with having goals, but are your goals to reach a destination you'll never make and you'll be frustrated the entire time because of it? You know, truthfully, life is a journey. You've heard it said, it is not a destination. The truth also is that you are going somewhere, but it may be taking you nowhere. You are going somewhere. You are on a path of life. If your heart is beating, you are doing something. You are at a job, or you have a purpose in life, or you are taking care of your family, or you are working so that you can do one of those things. I mean, you are headed somewhere. Are you headed to a place that is going to lead to fulfillment and health and happiness and a place where you can say, I truly am just thankful to be alive? Or are you headed to a place of constant disappointment and struggle and frustration, wanting to give up because you're never going to make it, always looking at somebody else and saying, if I could just have that, life would be good. And what kind of God could we possibly worship if that was the purpose of your life? I mean, what kind of mean-spirited God would say, I want you to try to get what everybody else has? Because the truth is, everybody can't have everything. It just doesn't work that way. So how do we change this mindset? I want you to know, as we go through this series, Jesus wants to intertwine our journeys, wherever we're headed, with His. That is His purpose. He wants them not just to be something that coexist, but He wants them intertwined so that they are indistinguishable from each other. And I want you to know that you have an invitation for that no matter what your life is focused on right now. You have an invitation to intertwine your life with Christ. You have an opportunity to live your life on the journey of a lifetime. Revelation 3:19. It describes the invitation like this. It says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. That's the message of the gospel, remember? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, how many of you have a boss that stands at your door and knocks? Or someone in authority over you that actually is requesting permission to be involved in your life? I've never had a boss that requested permission to tell me what to do. Any of you? You have? Well, I might want to go change jobs then. Good grief, that's awesome. But most jobs just kind of come in and say, this is the way it's going to be, right? And if you don't like it, you can at the highway. We ought to play that song again. I wish I had little excerpts. Don't do it, Sean, but because Sean will do it. Sean will totally put something up there. God is actually knocking. He's waiting for you to invite him. What a picture of a patient, loving God. Picture of someone who wants to be involved, but is not going to force you into something that you don't want. The invitation is this: behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. Now, who is this referring to? Who is this anyone, you think? Is it just people that look the right way? Act the right way? They never say those expletives when putting up the Christmas. I mean, maybe getting a little more personal than I should. What does that person look like, right? If anyone hears my voice, anyone, does it look like the person who has never been arrested? Is it the person who always reads their Bible? Is it the person that can't break whatever sin has got a hold of their life? I think those are all anyone's. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. It's the idea of, if you will let me come in, I'm telling you I want in. If you will let me come in, I will be there and we will be together. We will be on a journey together. The truth is, the journey is better with God. It always is. The idea that the journey is not better is an idea that has completely been hatched through the misunderstanding of the gospel and what it means to follow Jesus. Anyone that says that a life following Jesus is a terrible life has no clue what it looks like to truly follow Jesus. And the truth is there are people out there that are giving really bad examples. And let's be honest, sometimes we are the bad examples. It's so easy to look at them and say, you know what, I just can't believe they would do that. This is a problem of Christians. But sometimes we got to look in the mirror, because sometimes we're the problem. Because we're not God, we're not Jesus. We still have changes to make along this journey. He's invited you. The journey is always better with him. If we look around the world and the number of people that are so unhappy, and maybe some of you here today are just unhappy. Maybe some of you came today and you dressed up and you've got some new Christmas clothes and you're just, you got all taken care of and you're smiling and you came in and just, hey, great, we had a great Christmas. It was wonderful. Maybe that was you this morning. Yeah, great new year. We stayed up and, you know. And if you're one of those couples, you know, yeah, we didn't just kiss at New Year's. Don't you like these couples? We didn't just kiss at New Year's. We made out. I mean, we are so in love, you know. You're just so good at putting that face on, but yet deep down inside, you're just feeling like life's falling apart. I'm putting this face on, but you know what? My life kind of stinks. I just don't want anybody to know it. And then we kind of come into the church and we put another layer on that, because if you're a good Christian, you will have joy in your life. And so we certainly do not want to have to say, I just don't feel joy, because then we look like a bad Christian, right? Maybe today is just a going through the motions day. Yeah, 2014's here. I'm going to struggle over the next 6 weeks to stop writing 2013, but really, I don't feel any different. Nothing's changed. Be another year of just pretending that things are better than they are. There are a lot of people that live that way. All of us at some point live that way. Some of you may be living that way right now. Some of you have had a destination in mind, and you are right there. And you are scared to death you're not going to make it, or you're going to lose what you've already got. And life is just really not all that great. See, the world lives that way. The world is in this pursuit of happiness. We've already talked about this, that happiness is not, when God talks about happiness, it is not what the world thinks is happiness. There are so many people, they are in search of their happily ever after. I used to love those Christmas, those children's stories. I used to love those. It was happily ever, and then they lived happily ever after. And there are so many women, let's be honest, because you told that story with your dolls in your bedroom your entire childhood, and then you got married and you found out that you did not marry Ken as much as you wanted to. Or maybe you did, but 10 years later, he didn't resemble as much Ken as he did, you know, Al Bundy or something. And you're thinking, where's my happily ever after? I mean, I went to school, I got the good job, and I did all the things I was supposed to do. Where's my happily ever after? And then when I begin thinking about that, I think back to the story of the disciples. You know what we ought to do? We ought to do a children's story of the happily ever after for the disciples. Wouldn't that be some story? We would have to censor it, quite honestly. And then we read these stories and we're like, man, the disciples, their happily ever after didn't end very well. What is up with that, God? Is it the purpose for us to reach a level to be happily ever after? And my guess is that there are very few of us, if any of us, could point to anyone we know that is truly living the happily ever after today. You think, oh, somebody won the lottery. Happily ever after. But then you go and you find out that almost every single person that ever wins a lottery ends up bankrupt within 3 years. They didn't have a happily ever after. Of course, the lottery never talks about those. We talk about students in school, which I'm all thankful for anyone who wants to help pay for kids in school. But they don't ever talk about the people who are bankrupt and homeless because they couldn't manage $500 million that they won. We don't talk about that. The world is in search of a happily ever after. For some of you, your happily ever after involves another person. If I could just find that spouse. I've given up on Ken. You know, I would be okay if I didn't get Ken, but I want, you know, Ken's, you know, brother or something. And, or I'm just wanting that girl, or maybe you're a couple and it's those kids. Or maybe it's different kids if you already have kids. I don't know. We won't talk about that too much, but if I just had those people, I would have my happily ever after. What is your happily ever after? Have you ever really thought about that? If I were to ask you to come up here and I was to hand you a microphone and I just said, describe the story for you, the ending for you, the happily ever after, could you do it? And if you could do it, what would it look like? Because my guess is that most of us couldn't. Because we are somewhere in our minds thinking if we could reach some level, but we really don't know what it is. What is your happily ever after? One of the ways we see this whole destination mindset that I just see over and over, and I see it on Facebook, and is honestly in our relationships. I'm gonna let you be my friend until you disappoint me, right? Have you been one of those friends? Have you ever disappointed somebody and it just makes your stomach just want to just turn inside out, and you are so upset that you have disappointed them? But it doesn't matter because you didn't reach their ideal of what a friend would be, and so you're done. See, the world does that all the time, too. We do that not only in friendships, but we do it in marriage. We have no concept of this process of growth within life. No concept that, wow, you really shouldn't have done that. But yet, understanding not only in their life, but in our own, there is a process of maturing and growing. Doing things that you will regret later and learning to do fewer of those things as you mature and as you grow. So when someone makes us mad, we're done. We have cut them off. In the church world, we do this all the time. And that's one of the things we see throughout the city, especially in the South, is we just see this mass migration from churches to other churches because they get mad and there's no opportunity, no grace for any kind of growth, not just in the community, but also in the leadership of the community. Because I got to tell you, if you migrate from church to church based on who the leader is, you're going to be disappointed. Because leaders are just people. But we don't have any allowance for the journey of life because we want the destination. We want you to be that perfect person. And if you're not, we're cutting ties. That's one of the reasons we have such shallow relationships on Facebook. Such shallow relationships with the people we work with or even go to church with because we're afraid they're going to disappoint us. But see, when you begin to think of the world as a journey, your life as a journey, you understand where I am and where they are is not where I will be or they will be. There is opportunity for growth. There's opportunity for change. The world thinks differently. Jesus wants you to see it differently. Jesus gave his life so that you could walk with him. He gave his life for it. I mean, some of us don't have friends that will give up, you know, a lunch break to talk to us when we're in need. Jesus gave his life so that we could walk with him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says this, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin," which is kind of a funny statement, right? It's like if anyone does ever get hungry, or anyone ever does need a, you know, drink of water, or anyone ever does need to breathe a breath of air, you know, it's, if anyone does sin, as if there are those somewhere that don't, like, sin? What? I don't know what you're all talking about. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, "I know him," but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps the word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this, listen to this, by this we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. It's the indicator of a follower of Jesus. We walk in the same manner. We follow in the same footsteps. We live our lives by the same code, by the same principle, by the same teachings. And if someone were to look the way we live, it should in some way, although we will never perfectly reflect Jesus, but in some way should reflect the life that Jesus lived and the teachings that he taught. Charles Ryrie, one of my first Bibles was a Ryrie Study Bible. Whenever we read these words, sometimes we kind of gloss over them, but he says about propitiation. He says, propitiation means the turning away of wrath by an offering. This is the gospel. You and I, when we set these destinations that we have to reach, we set these levels that's the only way you're going to be, whatever, fill in the blank. But for us, we are all guilty of sin. We are all at the opportunity to either be judged for that sin or to be forgiven for that sin. We are all in a level playing field. It doesn't matter what the issue or what the sin is. We are all in a level playing field. What propitiation and what 1 John is saying is that Jesus is a propitiation for our sins. It means a turning away of wrath by an offering. This offering is Jesus. Propitiation means placating or satisfying the wrath of God by the atoning sacrifice of Christ. You need to understand that within the world there's a battle going on, and God is going to pour his wrath out on it. Now, here's the deal. This is where we get so messed up, is we believe God is going to pour his wrath out on people. And while that may be the case in some instances, he's pouring his wrath out on sin and what it does to the world. Because his purpose has always been to invite people out of that into a life with him, a rescue. That was always the plan. That was the goal, a rescue of people, not so he can judge and hurt and injure people, but that he can rescue them. But you and I, without Jesus, we are destined for that wrath because sin will overtake us. And what Jesus has become is that atoning offering so that that wrath can be diverted. It was diverted. That is what propitiation is. That is what Jesus is for us. And if we are following him, if we love him, then we will walk in the way that he walks. The truth is that you and I are forgiven because of the sacrifice of Jesus. So what does this all mean? What's kind of the bottom line for what we want to do over these next few weeks? It is this. Simply walk with Jesus. That's complicated, isn't it? We make it complicated. The message is just simply walk with Jesus. Whenever you go to work, simply walk with Jesus while you're at work. When you're at home, simply walk with Jesus while you're at home. When you're out doing whatever you do, simply walk with Jesus along the way. Just walk with him. But Jesus is not this wander around, no goals, no, I don't know where we're headed. If you want to go over there, fine, we'll go over there. Jesus doesn't act like that. It's like when you're caravanning and someone decides it'll be cool to go 100 miles an hour and leave everybody in my dust and he's the only one that knows the way. And then everybody else just kind of veers off somewhere else. Jesus knows where he's going. We have the opportunity to walk with him or to veer off. And while there are so many times he has come back to get me, to bring me back, he's not content to just wander around with me. He's offering a place to go if we will go with him. Simply walk with Jesus. Colossians 2 says this, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies, high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body, so you are also complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." Follow him. We just took all that to say one thing. Follow him. All these other things the world's trying to tell you, you've got to take it all within the context of what is Jesus saying? What is he showing us? Where is he taking us? Just follow him. But as a Christian, one of the great things that we can have is we can eventually have a destination that we are headed towards. And the truth is that the journey is always better when you know that your destination is taken care of. For you and I, no matter what happens in this world, if you and I have that happily ever after the way we've always imagined or not, our future is taken care of. The end of the day, Jesus said as he left his disciples, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when this is all over, when all the tears are shed, and when all the hearts are broken, and when all people are just trying to deal with the things that are going on in this world, when it's all over, I'm going to come back and bring you to me." That is going to happen. It can be scary to not know where you're headed. And there are times that you and I are going to live life that way. But he says, at the end of the day, you can know no matter what happens or where I take you or what your life becomes or looks like, no matter what, your future is secure. So what do we do? What do we do with this? This is what I want to leave you with today. Living a life of faith is acknowledging that Jesus is your Savior and you are going to follow his teachings. As a church, we need to be so focused on following him and following his teachings. If we read and he says, this is what a disciple does, this is what you and I should be doing. If he says, this is what the goal of the church should be, then that's what the church should be doing. And we need to keep moving in that direction. You need to know that God is actively working in your life. He does have a plan for your life. Now, somewhere along the way, some of us learned that plan, or we were told and taught that plan, it include a happily ever after. Just do this, and God will do this. And that was always the best possible thing you could think of. I want you to know that God has a design for you. I think it's ridiculous how we have so muddled science. And we have tried to, the church is guilty of trying to take science out of reality. But God is the architect of it. And so if someone discovers it, that is a gift from God to discover some of the inner workings of how God has designed the universe. Why are we scared by that? Why does that frighten us? This is the way that God has worked. But there are a vanishing number of intelligent thinkers who would say there's got to be some design for all of this. In that same way, there is design for your life. Now, the hard part is that sometimes that design is going to take you places you don't want to go. Like you drop a bike on your foot. Sometimes that design takes you to struggles within your family. Someone gets ill, very ill. Sometimes that design takes you to a job that you were trusting in and was taking care of you, and then it is gone in an instant. Sometimes that design doesn't feel good. And if you were left to design it yourself, you would have left those parts out. Do you trust that walking with Jesus is the journey of a lifetime? What if the design that you're going through and the circumstances that you're struggling with are on purpose? Would you look at them differently? Would you act on them differently? There is a design for your life. It may not be what you think. It may not be what you're hoping for, but it is the very best that it could be because that's where Jesus is. And life is about a journey with Him. So how do we do this? I'm going to leave you just one thing. We're actually going to be talking about this, how do we do this, over the next few weeks. But I'm going to leave you with this. Just where we are today, what you can do today if you want to commit to this. Some of you may be here saying, you know, I said somewhere down the road, I want to be on this journey. And then somewhere down the road, you begin to just kind of let it go, kind of shift, change, lost your focus, lost your commitment to it. What can I do just to get started? Because Jesus is, you know, Jesus, and I'm just me. And thankfully, Scripture has given us a key to this. Psalm 119 is just a beautiful psalm, and it says this: Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts or your teaching. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. If you don't have an intentional time every single day of learning God's word, you are never going to be able to follow his teachings fully. It's like all of you dads out here that decided to put the Christmas gifts together without the instructions. And you were sorry, weren't you? You got out some tools that weren't called for to fix the error, didn't you? Right? I did. Huh? Yeah. So, if you're not spending intentional time in God's Word, you'll never fully be able to walk with Jesus. He's given it to us as a gift. It's a light to our feet. It's an opportunity to walk. And if some of you are thinking, yeah, but there's so much in there. Listen, here's a way you do Scripture. You read it and you do it. You don't read the whole Bible and then come up with a whole ledger of things you're supposed to do and then decide tomorrow I'm going to do it. That's a recipe for dismal failure. You read it and then do it. If you read something that has to do with anger and you go to work and you feel it welling up within you, just do what you read. And it's an amazing thing because when you're walking with Jesus, all of a sudden there's a wholeness that just kind of comes over you of, I have been faithful to follow your teachings. So if I'm going to leave you with one thing today, it is this: follow his teachings that we find in Scripture. In the next few weeks, not only are you going to see a few changes to the look of Journey, but you're also going to see some more tools that we're going to put out for you to use. If you're not using YouVersion, I just want to encourage you, download it today. Most everybody, not everybody, but most everybody has a digital device that can handle YouVersion. And it gives you the opportunity not only to read Scripture, but you can find a reading plan that works for you. Some of you may want to read through in a year. Some of you may want to just read through the gospel. Some of you may want to read through something that addresses one issue that you're dealing with in life right now. That's fine. Just get in God's Word and let it be absorbed into your heart and live it out. Just start that. We're going to have some tools, additional tools for you to use for that. But YouVersion is something you can do right now before you leave this place. You can download it and it will help. It'll send reminders. Just use it. It's one of the reasons we use it on Sunday mornings. I want you to commit to a time of intentional study. And I don't mean that you commit to staying awake in the service, because I know for some of you that's a commitment. I don't mean that. I mean that you commit that you are not going to put in my hands your entire spiritual life or whoever else is teaching. Because Jesus didn't say, find a good pastor and then I will bless you. I wish it said that. That would be cool, wouldn't it? Because then I'd feel a lot more important. It never says that. It just says, follow my teachings, and here they are. Don't put that in my hands. Now, what we do as a leadership is we lead this group, and we are hopefully leading you to grow in your faith. But take responsibility for your own growth. The Holy Spirit doesn't just dwell in staff or teachers or preachers. The Holy Spirit dwells in everyone who has repented and called on Jesus to be their Savior. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And Scripture says the Holy Spirit lets you know Scripture and helps you to understand Scripture. And when anger dwells up within you at work, you remember, I read what God said to do when I get mad. And then we do it. And the Holy Spirit says, yeah, we did it. That's walking with Jesus. It's like having the perfect encourager with you all the time. It's awesome. I hope that you'll do that. I hope that you'll join me also in these next few weeks and months with some intentional prayer. Prayer for our lives, prayer for our community, prayer for where God is or may take us. Because I perceive that this next year is going to be a big year for us. I don't mean that we're going to have to knock down a wall and add twice as many seats. That's usually what we mean by a big year. But I think this is going to be a big year for this community. We may have fewer people that are here today and still be a big year. Or we may have more, I don't know. But part of that looks like some of you coming alongside of us and using your gifts in some significant ways in the coming year. Just as Don is heading up Impact and Richard heads up worship when he's not sick and Scott heads up Journey to Recovery, David and Stephanie and students or whatever other area of leadership we have, I think this is going to be a big year for God to use you individually to help us be more effective at reaching people and making disciples. But I want you to spend some time praying with me. I want us to be on the journey together. I want us to be headed to the same place. And if that's where Jesus has taken us, we will go to the same place. I want you to know that your leadership council right now is working on some stuff that is not fun to work on. We're working on creating a foundation for the organization of this community that is sustainable, accountable, and it is built on Scripture. So as they continue to work, you're going to begin to hear from some of them on some ways that things are going to change here at Journey over this next year. But bottom line, I want you to know this, that the journey of a lifetime can only be experienced if you're walking alongside Jesus. Whatever other journey that you are on today, it's time to let it go. Whatever aimless wandering you're doing, it's time to let it go. And let's just walk with Him. As a church, that's my prayer for us. As a pastor, that's my prayer for our staff and for everyone who calls us home. As an individual, that's my prayer for my own life. As a dad and a husband, that's my prayer for our family. Because you will never go wrong by following Him. And let that be the driving desire of our hearts. I want to make, available that I know some of your stories are not so simple as I'll just start reading the Bible and they'll go away. And if that's the case, I want you to know that we have lots of people here that can help you along your way. Maybe it's me, maybe it's not. Maybe it's someone on our staff, maybe it's not. But if you want to get connected with somebody that can help you walk with the things that you're dealing with, come and see one of us, and we will get you connected. But let this be what happens in our lives. We're not reaching for a destination anymore. We just want to go wherever Jesus is. And in so doing, it will be the journey of a lifetime. Father, God, I thank you for this place, this opportunity to be here. I thank you for the people that call this home and have given of their lives just to follow you and then to demonstrate to others how great you are. Father, I pray for those that are here today and they're just not sure that 2014 will be any different than 2013, and maybe it won't, but that you do have a better way. Father, I thank you that you have not just called us to a lifestyle of worship, of giving, of offerings and alms and meditation and prayer, but you have promised that you will walk through this life with us, that you will live within us, that we are your family, and that one day when this is all said and done, we're going to come be with you in heaven forever. I pray that you would help us as a church and as a community to get that message out to as many people as possible. Help us to do it with grace, with humility, and with love. Father, I pray for those that are here today, and you've been leading them for a while to take some drastic steps in their life, and they are scared to death to take them. I pray that today will be the day that their heart begins to fully embrace what you want to do in their lives. They can make those hard decisions. Those that need to make changes that they're not sure they want to make, you'll give them the courage and the strength to make those. I pray that as a church that our leadership would be in tune with you and following your word, in tune with each other and being a community and loving each other. Help us to lead well. But more importantly, help us to reflect you and your love. We ask all this in Jesus' name.